The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate, and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Andy Williams, the nation station, Manx Radio.
Minutes past 12 midday. Good afternoon. This is The Man in Line live from Douglas in the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say by calling 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177. Well, there was a further case of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man detected. The individual, of course, who recently travelled to the Isle of Man in self-isolation. That was on Saturday. A contact tracing team is working to identify and speak to anybody who may have come into close contact with the affected person. The new diagnosis brings the total number of active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man to 3. And lots of tests being conducted. Lots of people awaiting results. Over 100 people awaiting tests as we stand at the moment. Anything else on your mind today? I think Brian's with us. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Terrific, thank you. What about yourself?
I'm feeling a little bit aggrieved today. Mr. Tim Baker, MHK, has finally agreed to speak to the Manx Landlords, Private Landlords Association, with regard to the forthcoming bill. And I'm due to meet him at 2 o'clock this afternoon down at the sea terminal. However, currently he's doing a presentation of the bill to Timwald. So it strikes me he's got the cart well before the horse. I feel like I'm being treated with contempt here.
Well, I'd wait till the meeting, see what he has to say.
Well, he's already said what he wants to do to Timwald members. Given that we've been trying to speak to him now for months, it would have been nice if he could have fitted us in before he did his presentation.
Now, just get to the bottom of this as well. Did he say that the Landlords Association wasn't a properly constituted body, I think? What did he say about your organisation?
It doesn't represent the industry. Well, it represents nearly a quarter of the homes that people live in the Isle of Man, so I would have thought it would have been worth having a little chat to us somewhere along the way. And in my opinion, it's not just about the landlords. This is going to affect the tenants, which is getting on for 20-25% of the population of the Isle of Man. Don't they have a say? Don't they get a chance to speak about this?
Well, I don't want to preempt what you're going to say to Mr. Baker this afternoon, Brian, but what are you going to say?
Oh, I've got quite a lot of things to say to Mr. Baker. And first question, I want to dive off to speak about Don Bailey. Don Bailey has been speaking about housing matters, and an awful lot of misinformation gone out there. You've probably seen or heard about the urine pouring through the ceiling of a rented property, causing great issue to the people beneath. Well, Mr. Bailey represents, well, he calls it a charity, but given that it's substantially funded by government or wouldn't survive without government's funding, it's hardly independent.
This is Housing Matters.
Housing Matters. Yeah, they tend to be dealing with people with drugs or alcohol issues or social issues and trying to find housing for them. So they're really not quite as independent as you might think. But Mr. Bailey has made these statements, and I'm calling upon Don. I know Don very well, and I've spoken to him about this, and he's denying he ever said it to my face. Well, it's there. It's in black and white on certain websites and on your opposition radio station that he said about urine pouring through the ceiling. I'd like you to clarify this. Tell us where it happened, how it happened, or apologise if it didn't happen.
So, I mean, and again, the trouble is with a discussion about private landlords, Brian, is it you tend to descend into stereotypes.
Absolutely.
Some people think private landlords are, you know, the nearest thing to Satan in the capitalist world.
Yes.
And the private landlords say, we're in business and we're providing a service and we'd be out of business if nobody wanted the service.
Absolutely. Now, there's all sorts of aspects to this. Government are very quick to impose legislation and regulation on things, despite the fact that in 2010 we had an expensive and protracted exercise which concluded that government had its fingers in far too many pies and was too big and wieldy to be effective. But since then, they've done nothing to reduce the size and scope of government. In fact, this is another move to create jobs for the boys down in DOI. But to think that it's going to have a positive effect on the vast, vast majority of tenants is absolutely foolish. This will lead to fewer properties being available. It's going to put costs up, so it's bound to put rents up. So I fail to see how this can be advantageous to the vast majority of people who are happy and living in rented accommodation at the moment, who are perfectly content with their landlords. And if they weren't, then we've still got the facilities there under the Public Health Act and various other acts to bring landlords to bear.
Bearing in mind that you obviously saw the fact that plans for a licensing scheme for Jersey landlords was rejected.
Yes, and it's been thrown out in Liverpool because it didn't fit their needs. So, yes, to think that we've got to march in step with the UK all the time is a fallacy. This is Isle of Man government over and over again.
So do you think the Manx government is aiming to introduce, in effect, a licence system that landlords will be, you'll have to have a licence to do it?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely what they're trying to do. And furthermore, I'll give you the ridiculous scenario under this licence. I have to be of good character to actually be on that licence. And if I'm not licensed, then I can be fined hundreds of thousands of pounds for not complying with the law. So let's look at this. Suppose I've got 100 properties. I haven't, be nice, but suppose I had 100 properties. And then I decide to go out and rape the Queen. Of course, now I've been categorised of bad character. So I can no longer be a landlord. So we'll have to evict those 100 families to comply with the law, won't we?
Well, let's see what happens this afternoon. Presumably, the meeting's going to be confidential this afternoon, Brian.
Well, it isn't as far as I'm concerned. I mean, let's be open and honest. It's an open and honest government. Let's start talking in the open about all the problems, the issues. And there are one or two good things that can come out of this. I'm not saying that the whole bill is a nonsense. You just have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to wade your way through the 80 pages of legal jargon to try and get to the bottom of what they're actually trying to achieve. I feel that this is being railroaded through, and the vast majority of Tynwald members, and for that matter, ministers, don't realise the implications that this, when it's enacted, because I will say when, because they're absolutely determined to push it through for some reason, when this comes into play, it's going to have far-reaching consequences, not just to the rented properties, but also for the private individuals that are unfortunate enough to live in properties adjacent to a rented property. You know, you can't just renovate and raise the standard of an individual property in a terrace without having a knock-on effect to the neighbouring properties. So, you know, there are a lot of aspects to this that that is going to cause hardship to a lot of people. And it is trying to address a problem that really doesn't exist. and could easily, any problems or issues that are out there can be dealt with under the existing Environmental Health Act.
Okay. All right, Brian, well, we wish you well with the meeting, and no doubt you'll keep us up to speed.
I'll try to. And just before I go, I shall be coming on about care homes in the future. When are we going to start getting proper control in care homes?
All right. All right. Thanks for calling us today, Brian. It's good to talk to you as always.
Bye.
All right. And Roz joins us now on The Man in Line. Good afternoon, Roz.
Good afternoon, Andy. What I'd like to know, nobody's explained, are these new landlord rules going to apply to local housing and the government houses?
It would appear not, because this is a landlord's, this is a private landlord's issue.
Yeah, because I've got a daughter who lives in a local government house, and she hasn't even got fire doors on her kitchen. So if there's a fire in her kitchen, her and her three children are going to be put at risk.
And which local authority is she?
She's local government. Okay. She's in a local government house.
Okay. And what do the the landlords say? What do they have to say?
Well, they've said that at the moment they're working through the various estates on the island, and they will eventually get round to her estate, but they can't tell her when.
And which estate is it, can you say?
Yes, she's on Ballacannel in Laxey. Well, Lonnon, rather.
Okay. I'm trying to think, when were they built?
The ones that she's in were built, I think, in the... She's in one of the later ones, the early ones, so I think in the 1950s.
Right. So no fire doors?
No. And the doors are so thin that she's got a teenage lad, and when he lost his temper, he actually hit one of the doors and it went through, because all they are is a thin panels attached to wood battens inside.
Roz,
I reckon at the most they'd probably give about 5 minutes fire chance.
All right, Roz, that's a very pertinent point, one that's been raised as well. And we thank you for making that point, Roz. Thanks for calling us.
Okay, fine.
All right, and Chris joins us now. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hello, Andy. Just a little bit more like what Brian was talking about. I've actually got a group of 12 friends now, and we're all small landlords. There's only one that's going to continue renting property to tenants. Our tenants are out now and they won't be coming back in. And the other 11, they've either got tenants out and they're in the process of getting them out, or some are not even going to start, because some people are going to buy property and start to rent it out. And none of us are. There's only one that's going to stick with it. And he's actually going to do it, you might say, on the black market, undercover. He's going to try that, but I think that's really risky, and I don't do that sort of thing.
What's the straw that's broken the camel's back, Chris?
The threats. There's already legislation for bad landlords, and I believe me and my friends were all decent people and all good landlords. And I did actually go to that meeting on the Thursday night, but I work a lot and I can't get to the phone at lunchtimes very easily. So anyhow, I went to that meeting and it was just mind-blowing. The meeting was very one-sided, trying to show all the good things that the government are doing for it. But when I asked awkward questions, all I got was, it's on the internet, you've got to read the 85-page document. They weren't prepared to really discuss the bad things.
What were the bad things you wanted discussed?
Well, it's all the fines and penalties and restrictions for the landlords. You know, and it was just outrageous. There was another girl there that came into our conversation, and she was an agent for people that rented out. And she said, I'm very concerned already. She was only a small agent with 20 properties. And she said, I'm concerned already because three of my customers have put all their houses on the market already. And I said to Deborah Reeves, or maybe Debbie Reeves, I said, do you not realise that you're going to have a lot of people on the streets with nowhere to live? And she looked a little bit shocked. I said, do you not realise what's happened with the homestay scheme? How legislation has totally wiped out the homestay scheme. You know, a few years ago, there was 850 homestay houses on the Isle of Man. Today, we're down to 140 purely because of legislation. Now, what is interesting, when I was talking to Debbie about this, she said, oh, we tried to do a homestay, but it was too onerous, and at their house, I think it was because they had an open door in the kitchen, again, wouldn't suit the criteria for homestay, so she couldn't do it. But what she did actually say to me and retracted it, she said, if you wanted to carry on doing homestay, because Ros and I did, she said, you could do that on the black market. But she then retracted that statement because she saw the shock on my face, because I don't do anything that's illegal. And it was really surprising. I said, well, you know, your landlord's bill is going to do the same to rented accommodation. And it really is, Andy, you know. All my pals are saying, well, sod it, we don't need it. We do not need this legislation against us.
All right. Thanks for calling us today, Chris. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. And let's go to Sue we have now. Good afternoon, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I wanted to talk about the key workers that are coming across and obviously breaking the rules, and why our government, for some of the roles or even the companies that these key workers are working for, why they're not setting up apprenticeships on the island to cover some of the roles. I mean, I can understand, I've spoken to David Ashford about this, and he said that some of the roles in DHSC, it's not possible to put them up as apprenticeships. But other roles, like the welders and engineers and things like that, why are the companies not making apprenticeships on the island to cover those positions? Because surely you don't just do an apprenticeship role for somebody to do welding on the railway line. You incorporate that person into other aspects of the railway positions. And, you know, surely it would be of a benefit to the island, especially as we've got 800 plus unemployed at the moment. It would help throughout. So why isn't it happening?
Why were you content with what Mr. Ashford said?
On the point of the DHSC, because, yes, you have specialist surgical people and things like that, so it would take many, 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 many years to be able to train somebody up to have those roles. But when it's down to welding, I'm not saying it's going to be 6 months and somebody's going to be fully trained to do welding on a railway line, but surely in 1 or 2 years' time, we could have people that are trained up to do welding on our railway lines and to do other jobs for the railways. You know, it's that sort of thing. It'll take a few years for somebody to train up to be an engineer, but why not start training up people that are on the island? Why keep relying on people that are coming from across all the time, and especially in the current circumstances?
Good point. Thanks, Sue.
Okay.
Thank you. 23 minutes past 12. The boss of those five key workers who have been sent to Derby for breaking self-isolation rules says that his youngest employees have been left traumatised by the experience by going to Derby. Two teenagers and a 22-year-old were amongst the five employees from Hague Rail. They were jailed after arriving on the Isle of Man to work on the MER. Instead of heading straight to their accommodation, as they were told, they stopped off at Tesco, where they were confronted by members of the public, including one of our journalists. Michael Downing is the boss of welding at the Doncaster base firm, Doncaster in South Yorkshire. He spoke to Lewis Foster.
We knew that there were certain restrictions and that we had to isolate in the hotel, and we could only go to our place of work. We knew that, but we'd just come from the mainland, which was six to a table, where everybody wearing masks went in shops and public places, to a COVID-free environment where nobody was wearing masks. Our guys were the only people wearing masks. So it was suddenly a very strange environment compared to the one that we were used to back in July. And for those few precious moments, we let our guard down and I let my guard down, and the guys let their guard down, and they went into Tesco. A couple of them went, the others I sent after them to bring them back. I thought they were actually getting out of the vehicles to have a smoke. I was sat there talking to my wife, and in those few moments, the guys went in, came back, said they'd been challenged by a member of the public. Reality dawned on me, and I said to one of them, I think we're in trouble. And that's it. We went to the hotel, we had a meal, we were in our rooms, isolating as we should be, and then obviously the guys were arrested at 21:26 that night.
Amongst the group, two of them are 18-year-old and one of them 22. How do you think those lads will be feeling right now?
Traumatised. as I am. To think that they've now got criminal records, they've been put in an institution, I beggared belief. I spoke to their parents. How do I tell a parent that he's 18-year-old lad? We don't call them apprentices. We pay them as trainees. They're doing a good job. They're living away from home. They're enjoying their work, happy in the work. Great adventure going to the Isle of Man, and this is how it's turned out. And their families, obviously, were distraught. And luckily, they're going to be released on Monday now, I understand. We've all learnt a harsh lesson, and lesson learned, and our guard will be up, and I hope it doesn't deter people having confidence in us to come and do a responsible job. We've learnt a lesson.
26 minutes past 12. Lots and lots of correspondence in about those welders. I'm appalled by the company reaction. Did no one explain to the company what the rules are? Whatever the company does in-house, to say publicly that it beggars belief is appalling. I moved here at the end of July, and I read the certificate of exemption very carefully, and the comment about possible custodial sentence was very clear. That made me very aware of the seriousness of breaking isolation, and I was even wary of bringing the milk in from the front doorstep. Another one in, will the government be trying to emphasise this further with key worker employees before they're allowed here? How can these people be defended? At least one has tested positive for COVID-19, putting staff and customers at risk in Tesco. The courts and the prison, they need to be kept in isolation for at least another 14 days. My surprise is, says Chris, that the employer wasn't prosecuted for aiding and abetting. The responsibility was arguably greater. Any thoughts on the matter? Call 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Oh, by the way, the sign at Abbotswood Nursing Home has been removed. Manx Radio.
Introducing the first ever IOM Carer of the Year Awards. Ark Health at Home and Wiltshire Farm Foods are inviting all nominations for our inaugural ceremony in November. If you know someone or a team of people who deserve to be recognised for their commitment to providing care and support to others over the past 12 months, then this is your chance to say thank you. Nominate at iomcareawards.com by the 14th of October, in association with Manx Radio.
Oh, look, he's sleeping like a baby. He always sleeps well knowing we're fully covered by our Blackford & Company's car insurance policy.
They offer great value car and van insurance for all Isle of Man residents, with internet prices, local service and advice, and help when you really need it. So call 832 042 today for a quotation or visit manxcover.com.
Think local, stay local. Think Blackford & Company for car and van insurance on 832 042.
Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Flight's cancelled. You don't need to jet off to kick back. Enjoy a staycation this autumn at the Manin Hotel. With bed and breakfast available and even a couple's weekend retreat, why not book a dinner package including three-course meal at the Liberty's restaurant, overnight stay in Atrium or Broadway room, and full Manx breakfast the next morning? And NHS staff will now receive a 20% discount on all food and drink. See maninhotel.im to book.
With Sure, you can share your unlimited data calls and texts. Get one of our new sharer plans and you can share your unlimited data calls and texts with up to four members of your household from just £12 extra per person per month. And with everything itemised and showing on one simple bill too. Switch to Sure to save or upgrade your account and start saving more from today. To find out more, pop in store today or visit Sure.com. That's Sure.com. And remember, you'll always get more from Sure.
Isle of Man Government is inviting you to join the Citizens Forum on Climate Change. Whatever your views on the subject, it's a unique opportunity to be involved in the island response to climate change. Apply at gov.im/citizensforum by October 11th.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
It's up past 12. Thanks for tuning in today on The Man in Line. I'm incensed and traumatised by the gross disrespect shown to the great Manx public by the five railway workers who chose not to isolate as required, and now by their boss's ill-chosen words, says John. The five pleaded guilty to a criminal offence, and in my view the penalty they received was a lenient one. As the Chief Minister said on Thursday, the rules are crystal clear and the five chose to take a chance when advised not to by their supervisor. The five travelled to us from an area where the spread of COVID-19 is prevalent in their community. In the face of the prospect that their ill-judged actions might spread the disease in our community, 14 days in Jerby isn't an adequate penalty, says John. Well, apparently they're coming out today, so less than a week they will have done. And a note in from Joan, who said, the Isle of Man didn't get to where it is by idling around and taking a chance. We had discipline. We've gone without social contact. We were locked down for a time. We're not socialising with people off the Isle of Man. Lots of people are really missing their friends and relatives off the Isle of Man. Lots of people want to come to the Isle of Man to see friends and relatives. We did this because we're disciplined. Thank you, Joan. We've all been told. Not key workers. Trainee welders aren't key workers. That's a disgrace. The Manx government's allowing the island to be put at risk by a UK company working on the MER. We're not able to go and see our family in Ireland, and the Isle of Man government allowing some kids here as key workers, I think, is disgraceful. A note in that said, quite simply, isn't it time that our government realised that bringing over workers hidden under the title of key workers is the worst possible thing they can do now? Welders can be found on the Isle of Man, and if not, can be trained at a fraction of the price that it costs to hire people and pay for accommodation and expenses. The fact that these people are living in places where COVID's rife means that they really aren't bothered about adhering to our rules. Please, Howard and Co., make the right decision. Stop these manual workers from the prom and railways coming over and potentially infecting people on the Isle of Man who've worked hard to stick to your rules. Surely they could get a work party from people who are currently seeking employment. Also, the government's been trying to help Manx businesses by saying we should use staycations, yet we find out sometimes that the same hotels we use for staycations are being used for these visitors. Not sure if sharing facilities in a Manx hotel with somebody visiting is a good idea. Also, the workers over for the MER have been using the local shops and businesses as well. Another note in says, Andy, welders traumatised? Sack 'em. Obviously, they can't read or follow instructions. What happened if they brought COVID here with all our work wrecked? MER welders were supposed to be key workers, not teenagers having the experience of coming to the Isle of Man. I think you get the tone of what people are saying. There's lots more of that as well. I'll just grab a few more texts, and one that says, I applied for a job at the DOI for maintenance on the railways. Ticked all the criteria required. I have years of experience in welding. Not even an interview. I could have passed my skills on to the young up-and-coming staff for future Isle of Man work. So why are we fetching so-called key workers from across when we've got the skills already on the Isle of Man? The boys from Donny, do your punishment, says that correspondent. Surely the... unfortunately, it sounds like this is Dave talking about Brian, talking about the private landlord's bill. Sounds like Brian's got an axe to grind. He's making accusations himself. You need to take the cotton wool out of your ears and listen, says Dave. And a note in that just says, well, you don't need fire doors on houses in Ballacannel. It's only the flats that need them, says Kev. And Joe says, will Douglas Council have to adhere to the new landlord rules? Are people aware how difficult it is to get simple basic internal house repairs done? The excuses with Douglas Council are beyond belief. Just to bring up them, bring them up to basic but very poor living standards. Regarding Ross's comments about fire doors at Ballacannel, you'd have thought the government, having dozens and dozens of property managers at their disposal, would employ a few carpenters to install a few doors. I'm sure they'd have something to say over that. A note in that just says, there are some bad landlords on the Isle of Man. There are some. I've rented from many landlords over the years, and some of them have been questionable. There are some poor landlords on the Isle of Man that are renting properties in a bad state of repair, especially around, in and around central Douglas. So ensuring that private landlords are both compliant with the law and are also considered good, honest people is beneficial for all renters on the Isle of Man. I'd rather have a landlord that I know is of good character than somebody who's dodgy. And I've rented from some dodgy people, says this correspondent. Any landlord worrying about the state of their character should consider re-evaluating their character so they shouldn't fail. Well, I suppose it's innocent till proved guilty, or is it guilty until proved innocent? Maybe all the bad landlords are jumping ship. That's why they're selling, said that correspondent. When did private landlords suddenly get a bad name? How can you train key workers? How can trainees be key workers? Surely somebody didn't check correctly. This is still talking about those key workers, the welders. A note on that says, talking at hearing about key workers, it's sad that the training and supervision are major issues in many departments. Just a quick note, by the way, that a week on Thursday, this coming Thursday, there is an election for Douglas Borough Council, by the way. It's going to take place Thursday, the 15th of October. Starts at 8 o'clock, closes at 8 p.m. There are polling stations around the area. It's the Derby Ward in Douglas, Alan Charles Buck, Samuel James Hamer, Amanda Jane Walker and Devon Watson are the four candidates for the election. And you'll be hearing those candidates talking about what they can offer on Manx Radio throughout the week. That's the Douglas Borough Council Derby Ward by-election, which is a week on Thursday, the 15th of October. And then a fortnight on Thursday, there's a poll, a by-election for one member of Onchan District Commissioners. The Douglas one, by the way, is for two commissioners, two councillors in Onchan. It's for just one commissioner. Thursday 22nd, a fortnight on Thursday, starts at 8 o'clock, closes at 8 o'clock. The polling station for the Onchan one is the Hub in School Road at Onchan. There are two candidates, Kim Corlett and David John Quirk. That's two local elections taking place, a week on Thursday for Douglas Derby Ward and a fortnight on Thursday for Onchan District Commissioners. Now, to the subject of GPs, and how difficult do you think it is to get to see your GP? Many of the island's medical services had to be halted or adapted during the lockdown, with GPs turning to telephone appointments and video calls, and we all had to get used to that. But some say that they're finding it hard to book in at their surgery months after social distancing has been lifted. Comes as a number of the island's 11 GP practices are currently recruiting. They're short of people. So are there enough doctors to see every patient? There's only one person to talk to, and that is our Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford.
At the moment, there is a variety amongst different practices. Some are doing quite a lot of face-to-face. In fact, I asked for the figures the other day, and most practices are doing 85% plus of their appointments face-to-face. The average across Ireland is around about 75%, but there are a couple of practices that I know of which people have contacted me where face-to-face seems to have dropped away a bit. It's important that there is still that mix and that people who require a face-to-face clinically can still get it.
So could something like that then, the telephone appointments, could they be a long-term thing? Could we see this post-COVID?
Yes, the triage system is here to stay in that way. But like I say, it's important we get the mix right, because while telephone and video triage actually has a place, face-to-face is still massively important.
You mentioned there that some surgeries you've had contact about patients struggling to get the face-to-face appointment. There are a number of surgeries with vacancies at the moment. Do we have enough GPs on the island?
Well, obviously recruitment is an issue. We want to help address that as a department, and we are trying to work with the GPs to try and address recruitment, and it is something that's ongoing.
Why is recruitment an issue?
Well, it's not just an issue for us. If you look across the UK as well, and even further afield in Europe, in fact, you'll find that there are issues around recruitment to general practitioner level. The UK has gone for a bit more of a mixed model where they are actually putting salaried GPs in a lot of areas as well. We haven't gone down that line of salaried GPs. We've stuck with the fact that they're private practices, but the department is keen to see what we can do to try and support GPs and ensure that they've got the correct level of clinical skill in their practices.
So does that practice system work over here? Do you need to look closer at a salaried system?
No, I think it does work over here. I think the practice system does work. I think, you know, GPs are a very fundamental part of our community, and GPs know a lot of their patients personally. They are the front end of primary care. Now, there's a few things I think that the department and the GPs, you know, have to work through at the moment, and certainly the GPs contract is one of those which I'm acutely aware of, where we do need to do a lot more work together to try and resolve some of the issues. But I think that the practice system as it stands at the moment is the right approach. But the department may well, for instance, look to have internally in the department salaried GPs employed that can then assist practices when they have vacancies.
David Ashford, Health and Social Care Minister. About three quarters of appointments now in the Isle of Man are taking place in person, but it does vary from place to place, and maybe you're attached to one of those practices where you're getting video appointments now. So have you been able to get a face-to-face appointment when you've needed one, or are you happy with something over the phone? Alex Watton's been around Ramsey with the Manx Radio microphone.
They're lacking, yeah.
Why do you think that?
Well, it just takes so long to get to see somebody, and it's all telephone appointments at the moment, and to actually try and get somebody. I've been waiting 3 months to get a physio appointment.
Right,
OK. No, it's not good at the moment.
And has the reasons behind that been explained to you?
No. I think the only interest is it COVID that's affecting you not going to see the doctor? So, no, it's a bit difficult at the moment.
I don't have any experience of the GPs. I do try and avoid them as much as possible, to be honest, but it's been really difficult with my partner here because it was weeks and, you know, and prescriptions aren't coming through even when you've been recommended some, and it's just a bit of a pain. But personally, I try and avoid them.
Well, the point is, you're trying to see a doctor, trying to get in, and then you have to go to Jerby's to Ramsey. I just got a horse here about a week and a bit ago, and I had to see them then, trying to make an appointment. It's terrible. Do you want to open that place up properly again?
GP services at the moment, I would say, was absolutely excellent. I couldn't fault them whatsoever. You just phone up, get an appointment with somebody to phone you, either the doctor or the nurse, and they'll decide then on that phone call whether they actually need to see you or not. And it's normally the next day that I get seen, and I think I couldn't fault them at all, to be honest.
That's a really...
They really have been excellent.
Yeah. The fact that they are recruiting for a number across the island then, that doesn't seem... That doesn't seem to have affected you, I suppose.
No, not at all. I mean, I suffer myself with anxiety and depression, and I couldn't fault them. They've been brilliant.
It's very hard to see a doctor
at
the moment, face-to-face, but pretty good on the whole. They look after you. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to see a doctor. The doctor phones you, and then you talk to him over the phone, but it's not quite the same as eye contact. Yeah. But I did see a doctor when I wanted to.
The good people of Ramsey there, some comment in. Good service at Ramsey. Happy to have telephone appointments, says Sandra. Physio appointments are far harder to get than GP. You are either better or at risk of getting permanent damage by the time you get an appointment. Ramsey aren't seeing people and often not returning calls, says this correspondent. You have to be available to take calls, which isn't practical if you work. Some people don't like phone calls, especially if they've got things like autism. I think it's an inferior service. Tony joins us there. Good afternoon, Tony.
Hello, Andy. Just heard on the Manning line that these key workers are supposed to be getting released from Jerby today. Could you tell me, or would anybody know, where are they supposed to self-isolate when they come out?
Nobody quite knows, but that's the word, apparently. They're being released today.
Yeah, it seems a bit strange if they're not going to have to self-isolate.
I wonder if they're going to go and do the welding, or they're just going back
to
Doncaster.
Right. Yeah, beggars belief, really, doesn't it?
It doesn't seem very consistent, though, does it, Tony, all
no,
this?
No, it certainly doesn't, how the other three that didn't get put inside.
And obviously, it was all over the Sunday Mirror yesterday. There was a two-page spread about it.
Yeah. I think that shows the world we're now, doesn't it?
Well, if it does one thing, and if it tells everybody the Isle of Man is not the UK, I suppose it's done that much. But, I mean, if it's taken this to do it...
Yeah, that could be good, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tony, thanks for calling us today.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you for being with us. And, by the way, last week at the start of October, we talked quite a bit about Stoptober. Lots of people are stopping smoking. I've been inundated by people with some really personal stories about how they gave up smoking. Many people had smoked for years and years and years and suddenly decided to do it. So if you're in the middle of giving up smoking for Stoptober, then I wish you well and I hope everything goes well and you get off the evil weed during this month of Stoptober. Lots of stories also coming in about flu jabs as well. Alfred Cannon was on Friday, the Treasury Minister as well, and we were inundated with correspondence there as well. So apologies if we didn't get to everybody's question on Friday. Hopefully we'll be talking to another minister soon. And of course, this Thursday, we're out and about live at King William's College with the students of King William's College. Our first out and about. I'm so happy about this. It's our first out and about. The last school we went to was literally just before lockdown. It was QE2 school. And I remember we were actually just chatting about this virus that's supposed to be making its way across Europe. That was, I think, something like March the 12th it was. We were at QE2 in Peel. So we're back at King William's College this coming Thursday. And I think it must be all of about 12 weeks since we were last out and about for the 120th anniversary, I think it was, of the 100th anniversary of the Gaiety Theatre. It seems an awful long time because I'd like to get out and about as well. I suspect the night owl buses have been cancelled. My daughter had a late night out in Douglas on Saturday and the last bus to Peel was 11 o'clock. If they're cancelled, it's disgraceful. They're a very popular lifeline to get people home safely, says Sue. Just wonder whether you have any experience of night owl buses actually working. 11 o'clock's not very late, is it? How on earth can two 18-year-old trainee welders be classed as key workers? Says Roy. And good afternoon. I work in construction. With the exception of a house with three stories or a loft conversion, there's no need in building regulations for a fire door from a kitchen. The only place a fire door is required is from an integral garage. This should be made clear to listeners so as to avoid any misunderstanding. Don't panic. Thank you, Tim, for setting us all straight on that. The exception of a house with three stories or a loft conversion, no need in building regulations for a fire door from a kitchen. How come they locked up the welders and let the three Welsh lads off with a fine? They should lock all people up who break regulations. There's no continuity in the law. Well, certainly there seems to be some ambiguity. It's not exactly like they planned it. It's just that those three people from Swansea who were working for the oil company got suspended sentences. It's not like they didn't get a custodial sentence. They did. It's just that it was suspended. Why are trainee welders classed as key workers? It makes me frightened as to who's coming to the Isle of Man, says Pam. 11 minutes to one. Any thoughts on the matter? Love to hear them. Text, email or call.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
I love my wood-burning stove and I want it to last. Thank goodness then for the Snug in Ramsey. Their kiln-dried wood is brilliant, so easy to light, proper hot, and no more dirty glass. You can even join their wood bank, meaning you benefit from bulk buy savings, but they sort the storage. With its roaring blaze, kiln-fired wood gets the best from my stove and keeps me toasty to boot. Call the Snug now on 818 187. Warming the heart of Ireland homes for 10 years.
What to cook today? No time, no idea, or just don't want the hassle of making a cooked meal? Leave it to our Hot Food To Go, prepared for you to take home by our chefs. Juicy roast chicken, meaty ribs, gammon, turkey drumsticks, tasty lasagna, and even cottage pie. Freshly cooked, ready to go whenever you're eating. Lunch, dinner, or supper. Call in and see what's hot on the menu in ShopRite, Douglas and Ramsey today. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers as graceful, aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine, hugging a majestic wooden structure looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
Tickets are now available for this season's range of onboard dining events, featuring old favourites including the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and many more. Or take your taste buds on a trip to remember with our fabulous Dining Cars of the World and Steam Theme events. To find out what's cooking on the dining car and to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
At Conister Bank, we've been helping local people for over 85 years, and we're here to help your businesses through this global pandemic. As a local bank, we can either stand by or stand up, and we choose to stand fast to our commitment to this island. If your business has been affected, we can help with our new working capital loan. With repayment terms over 1 to 6 years for the first 12 months, you will only repay interest to allow your business time to recover. Apply online today at conisterbank.co.im. Terms and conditions apply.
With so much uncertainty, making travel arrangements has been difficult recently. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company understand this and have introduced the Book with Confidence commitment to provide greater flexibility and peace of mind. Our Book with Confidence commitment means amendment fees will be waived if your plans have to change due to COVID-19 government-imposed travel restrictions. We'll even give you a full refund should your booking with us be cancelled. Visit steam-packet.com for details and full terms and conditions.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
8 minutes to one on Manx Radio. As a landlord of over 30 years, my flats are my business, says B. They're in perfect control by me. The government need to look for bad plumbers, bad dentists, bad electricians and leave us to deal with our business. How come the guys who came over to work for EVF only got a suspended sentence for breaking some rules? That question again about the inconsistencies. The legal system, I think, is broken. 5 railwaymen sent to prison for 2 weeks. 2 other key workers, well, actually 3, got suspended sentence. I wonder what it is. Well, it depends whether you're looking for conspiracy or maybe it's just the fact that, and again, let's remember, the 3 from Swansea did get a custodial sentence. They did. It's just that it was suspended. And the case after that, the 6 from Hague Rail, their sentences weren't suspended. If we have to jail key workers for falling foul of our stringent COVID laws, the government should stop bringing workers in. Don't blame the lads who come over. This will reflect poorly on the Isle of Man when the pandemic is over. A note in that says, I find it hard to understand how one lady went to prison, the next gentleman got a suspended sentence, a third went to prison. Doesn't seem quite right as well. Also, it seems like there are lots of people waiting for tests. I thought we had the capacity to do them straight away. Another one, ask Mr. Quayle or Ashford this question, preservation of life or preservation of a money pit of a railway? Politicians need to show strong leadership. COVID-19 is indiscriminate. Innocent people could possibly die. Get a grip or stand aside. Maybe let the apprentice take over. Thanks for that correspondence. Things do seem to be heating up where that's concerned. And certainly COVID-19 is on the increase in lots of places. And again, nobody quite knows how it's going to finish because some people don't have long-term immunity. Some people seem to have immunity. We don't quite know. And in 11 weeks on Friday, it's Christmas Day. Thank you, Ronnie. She dropped me a note and said, you came out with lots of figures last week regarding support for hotels and guest houses and B&Bs and glamping. Apparently, you said glamping pods are getting money from the government. Well, they are. It's a bit too long to tell you now. I'll go into that tomorrow about the money that is being given or public money that's being given to keep hospitality infrastructure, the tourism infrastructure going. So hotel owners, guest house owners, even down to glamping pods, getting an amount per night on a per pay. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'll run through that tomorrow on the man in line. And also, yes, it's true. A lady called in to say, is it true the sign's gone from Abbotswood? Yes, it is.
The man in line with Andy Wint.
The sign has gone. So either Abbotswood is going to get a new name or a new sign. Lots of comment also about that double page spread in the Sunday Mirror. And exactly what it could do to the Isle of Man's reputation. Well, rules are rules. Thank you, by the way, to everybody, the dozens of people who are telling me that fire door regulations only apply to flats and not to houses. So Bala Canal doesn't need fire doors. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. Remember, Thursday out and about at King William's College, and back tomorrow at 12 midday. Have a great afternoon.
WINT.